The call number is 844-967-2789, and we are definitely taking callers. I'm here with Athena and Micah. I was just wondering, I know you guys knew each other before this, but how did you guys kind of meet?
Oh, long story, actually. No, I was looking to transition away from, I was doing community garden organizing here in Madison, and just looking, I was getting tired of people, working with people, mm-hmm. and yet here I am. I love working with people again. And I was looking forward to working with plants, and so needed a career change. And so started to look into various restoration, ecological restoration firms, and Athena was hiring, and I was just some sort of standout applicant shown through, and I was hired on a lowly intern for like 3 months. So I was Athena's intern.
Yeah, that actually, I remember we first met, I think, well, and conversed anyway at a prairie enthusiast conference. Right?
Yes.
It was like near Milwaukee, which I would recommend also to listeners in the future if you want to learn more. Mm-hmm. The Prairie Enthusiasts are a local nonprofit. They have a great conference every February. Mm-hmm. A lot of good information there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you see that your work like overlaps a lot in general?
I mean, a little bit different now, but definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, now if, I mean, as I work with property owners, community groups, and just anyone and everyone to manage, steward, and care and create pollinator habitat. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would likely recommend, as people say, hey, where do I get native plants? I mean, right there, I'm Two Ferns Nursery, as many and many other nurseries spread out around the state. Mm-hmm. And then we also just, I mean, part of conservation is community and camaraderie, and so mm-hmm. Athena and I and others get together and just go geek out about plants occasionally. So
yeah, it's great. There's actually, I mean, within the restoration field, I think there's a ton of overlap in what we do, right? We're all kind of there for the same reasons. But there's different sections. Like when we worked together, it was not a Two Ferns didn't exist then. It was a different restoration company in Madison. Nice. But there's active restoration. There's groups like Xerces that are doing a lot more outreach and education. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, different nonprofit groups that are also on the ground doing restoration work. So there's a ton of overlap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I remember because I met you, Athena, in, 2019 probably.
Yeah.
Before we did Flower Fest, which was before we were an organization technically, and then I met Micah like last summer or something during the pandemic because you were working with YVC4 in Dane County. Do you both kind of like work with youth and kind of education in different ways?
I mean, I very much did. That was the role I had with Dane County Parks,
sure.
Was to creatively connect with young people, mm-hmm. to help them to help them explore the outdoors, mm-hmm. and how they and we all connect to the outdoors. And so I feel very passionately about that. And mm-hmm. it was a blast. And so also I take a lot of inspiration from working with people like you, Noemi, who is a young person leading the way in showing our community how we can connect to the outdoors and to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I don't even remember what your question was, but that was my answer.
Just youth in general, but yeah, no. We're getting a lot of lightning here. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. But yeah, also I was just going to say, I know that there's like a lot of kind of this like idea of preservation and kind of preserving what we've had in the past so that we can continue like the system for future generations and for the future. How do you see kind of like culturally, like how different cultures have kind of like preserved over time, and how does that kind of fit with some of the work that you've been doing?
That is an amazing question. And one that I try and think of myself too. So maybe I start with myself is like, I identify through the relationships I form with other people and other organisms, human and non-human animals. And I learn from that and hope I can be doing much better. Mm-hmm. That's for me personally and helps me construct my own cultural biography. One of which too, though, that is traced to the history of our nation. Mm-hmm. And so part of honoring other cultures and how they connect to nature and other communities and how they connect to nature is giving them space to uphold those values and practice those beliefs. One of the things that I'm learning and still learning how to talk around and talk about and integrate into my own professional and personal life is that I think the trauma that we see on the landscape today is very much connected to the trauma that was enacted by people on other people, i.e. mm-hmm. white colonists here enacting trauma on the First Nations that lived here
right.
and had a cultural presence and an ecological presence. Mm-hmm. And so the trauma of the past very much on people is also reflected in the trauma of that we see in our ecological communities and our habitat around us.
For sure. Yeah, thank you so much. I think we have a caller on the line.
We do. We have awesome. Catherine from Madison.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello,
Catherine.
Hi. Nice to talk to you guys again. I have a question. I'm really interested in bee lawns, and I know that's one way for people in the city to promote, pollinating and so forth. Mm-hmm. But is it easy to put one in yourself, or do you need help to do that? Or I just am interested in general. So I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
Wonderful. Always happy to have you call. Thank you.
So I think for bee lawns or bee-friendly lawns, it kind of depends how you use the space as well, right? So there's a number of low-growing, early-blooming native plants. I say low-growing because those are probably going to be the better suited to a lawn-type space. Mm-hmm. But like right now in my side yard, I have a ton of stuff that's starting to bloom. Native plants, Virginia bluebells, Jacob's ladder, trillium, woodland phlox, in the sunnier part of my yard, prairie smoke starting to bloom, passflower earlier this year or earlier this month. For lawn alternatives, that one's kind of hard. There are native grasses that you can use if you're trying to eliminate the Kentucky bluegrass, which is not native and predominantly what our current lawns are.
Mm-hmm.
Violets are a great option. Honestly, I don't have a lot of in-depth knowledge about what is a great, strictly native alternative to lawn that mm-hmm. can also act as a lawn and handle heavy foot traffic. But like buffalo grass is a native grass that is very low growing and will work as a lawn alternative, not necessarily flowering and bee friendly. But you could certainly integrate some of those other lower growing, like pussy toes is a dry prairie plant that'll bloom, that can act as a lawn alternative. What am I missing?
Lose the chemicals.
Well, also
do
that,
not
yes.
spray your lawns. There's yes. no reason to be paying a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everyone needs a job. I get it. But no reason to be paying a bunch of money to have someone come along and spray your lawn with mm-hmm. a bunch of chemicals. It's going
to
kill off those pollinators.
Yeah.
Go to the lake.
So like,
definitely.
If you do anything, I mean, Nomo's okay. Put a bunch of plants in there that support pollinators. And even if it, well, I mean, and my point there, which is like, do not spray. Don't spray herbicides or pesticides, mm-hmm. as that is honestly probably one of the best things you can
yeah.
do. The last thing there too, before I'd say like, not only can you be thinking about floral nectar resources, but just nesting habitat. And so some of those, maybe even bare spots, that is prime nesting habitat for our below ground nesting species. Or if there's like a corner of the area that looks maybe chaotic, embrace that chaos and disarray, because that is where your pollinators and inverts are going to thrive.
Yeah, that's actually a better answer. Like generally just lower maintenance in our lawn-like spaces. I didn't rake. We have a fairly sizable lawn
yeah,
area,
yeah,
right? And
sure.
I'm working to eliminate the lawn every year, which I think is the ideal
mm-hmm.
thing to do. But
it still looks like it's healthy and it other things
yeah,
come up.
I wouldn't
yeah.
dream of raking it in the... We just let it overwinter, which is good because there's pollinators overwintering in the leaves that are hanging out in there.
Mm-hmm.
So also waiting then till it warms up when those those insects are going to emerge before you even do. If you need to rake or move things, mm-hmm. keeping those leaves in your garden is ideal. If you mm-hmm. can keep all the sort of any cleanup you do, you should really wait until later to do a lot of cleanup in your garden, if any. But keeping it all on site is the best thing mm-hmm. that you can do.
And it's also easier too for
Yeah. I think we just need to move away from this conventional aesthetic we have mm-hmm. for lawns as well.
Yeah, for sure. We're getting a very nice sunset here.
It is. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It is so hot, too. It's very hot. How has that been affecting the plants and kind of like the growth
it
in
is,
general?
Yeah, it's not great. It is. So we're very small, right? And I currently it's just me, but it's been, I meant to put windows on the hoop house 2 years ago, and I have a back screen door that's half built in my garage. So it's not as well ventilated as I'd like to be right now, but mm-hmm. it's pretty hot in there. But plants are doing all right. I've kind of strategically have moved things around, and I just put the shade cloth up actually in the beginning of this week, which was absolutely necessary. But
yeah,
it's a bit of a shock. Mm-hmm. So, but it's doing all right.
Yeah. I know, I'm seeing like plants that are coming up in the spring, coming up at the summer, during the summer, and it's like the same time.
Yeah,
it's really strange.
That is very strange. There's a lot of stuff that's really slow to emerge, and actually I'm kind of secretly embracing that because it feels like it's giving me a little bit more time because it's been such a busy spring. But.
Oh, and for me, it was like that, just that cold, rainy 40s from like February something all the way to April and into like the first week of May. And I kept getting out and like, when are the spring ephemerals? Where are they? Mm-hmm. And so slow to emerge. And then all of a sudden it was 80 and everything came up and I'm feeling like I got to be in the garden immediately. I haven't even put my seeds in and mm-hmm. it's just it too quick, mm-hmm. too quick.
Yeah. Over at West.
I think a lot of plants are feeling the same. Mm-hmm. I've got some woodland spring ephemerals in my backyard and they're turning their leaves up and mm-hmm. exposing their silvery undersides mm-hmm. to honestly, that's actually an adaptive response to reflect light and reduce moisture loss. So mm-hmm. you'll see plants doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I know over at West, too, we've been, like, planting all our little seedlings and everything for our gardens, and they're just coming up so fast. What would you say is the time to plant natives?
I mean, really, so for Wisconsin, the lightning.
It's like heat lightning, too. Yeah.
For Wisconsin, generally, for most planting, not even just natives, you kind of actually want to wait till the end of May.
Okay.
Just because we could potentially get a late frost. Mm-hmm. It's happened. This year, it feels like it's maybe safe to do that a little sooner. A lot of people will... Mother's Day is kind of the safe point for perennials.
Yeah.
Trees and shrubs, you can plant way sooner. You can plant those earlier in the spring. But it's probably safe to start planting now. Especially the native plants are... They're tough. So... Mm-hmm.
And really any time's a good time to plant as long as you know you can water them.
Yeah.
And so like local or urban area, if it's small and you know, I mean, you can plant in June, you can plant in July. A lot of our native species will do fine, but it's mm-hmm. also, you just may want to make sure they have the water they need so that the root systems can establish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any resources that you have that you want to kind of promote today?
Xerces.
Our website is chock full of just fantastic guides, handbooks, brochures, just covering everything from how you can install native habitat in an urban area, how you can care for it on your farm.
Mm-hmm.
So check out xerces.org. There's just a wealth of resources and ways that you can get involved. And then I would direct you to also to Ferns.
Yeah, well, and also I am not great at shameless self-promotion. So I also
two
will
ferns.
Say, there's if you just Google DNR native plant nurseries, Wisconsin, the DNR has an amazing list of native plant nurseries all through Wisconsin, right? So if you're not in the Madison area, or even if you are, it's a list of all the native nurseries that you can get plants. So mm-hmm. if you're not near here, or even just as long as you're putting in native plants, that's what's important.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend Two Ferns as well, but
yeah, I think so. I agree. Two Ferns.
Yeah. UW Arboretum is sweet. Having a native plant sale tomorrow, though.
Oh,
however.
Yes.
So I did want to promote that.
Absolutely.
And I do want to promote again on next Saturday the Lake Wingrow Watershed. is happening, and I think Taylor's coming back next week maybe to do a little promo, I'm hoping.
Cool.
But yeah, we have two shows left, so we're really coming up fast, and we're coming up fast to the end here, so thank you so much for being wonderful guests. Yeah, this is Noemi, and that's The Sauce. Good night.